this morning we celebrated a sunrise service, and God held off the rain until I started speaking. And I got up to give the message and said, and the Lord, and next thing I know the mics are cut off, they're packing up all the electrical stuff and shoving it in the car. Many would say that's a sign, Adam, but I didn't take it that way. I said, the Lord wants us to move to the covered area. So we moved to a covered area. And I read this scripture. It was out of Isaiah 60. And it says, arise, shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you, and the Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. And it says, lift up your eyes all around and see, for they all gather together, they come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy. And I thought, how great is that? And they're talking about Zion and what a bound up. I guess they did it as a woman that was bound and chained and kept captive. But they said, no, you are free now. Arise, shine, for the light has come. It says, the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. And the glory of the Lord is a light that has come for each and every one of us. I told this story this morning, how it had been, do some quick math, 38 years. I don't remember what I said this morning, but it's been 38 years since I last attended a sunrise service. And that was my father's last Easter service, sunrise service that he did when I was, almost gave my age. Okay, I was 12. I'm 50 now. That way you don't have to do the math. And I thought, throughout the years I've told stories about my father. My wife heard them. Spencer, Brittany, Austin have all heard stories about my father. When we get together at my mom's house for family gatherings, I tell stories about my father. And that's for my benefit. And it's for my satisfaction. Because I have great memories of my father. Some silly, some serious. And I thought, Jesus Christ wants us to do the same thing today. He wants us to continue telling his story. But not for our benefit alone, but for the benefit of our family, our friends, those in foreign countries we don't even know, we haven't even met yet. Tell the story of Jesus Christ so that the lost may be found, so that the blind may see, so that the dirty may become clean again. The stories about my father, again, are personal. And I say them for my satisfaction. And as I mentioned this morning, those stories will soon fade away. But this story has not faded away. You see, it has much more importance and relevance. Where my father is one man that I can tell a story about, the relevance doesn't stretch necessarily beyond my family. But the story of Jesus Christ stretches beyond the walls of this church, I hope. Beyond the walls of your home, your classroom, your workplace, your vehicles, your city, your state, your country. And as we read over the last couple of weeks in the Gospel of John, we talked about the different people who were looking for the Savior. They were looking for the Messiah. And Jesus kept telling them, man, here I am. I am He. The one you search, I am here. When he was betrayed in the garden, he simply walked up and said, who are you looking for? They said, we're looking for Jesus Christ. And I don't know if they thought they were going there to find him. And he said who he was. And they were like, oh my gosh, it's him. And he said, I am he. And they were surprised by that. Yet they paid someone to take them to Jesus Christ, so I don't know who they thought they would find there. And last week, we touched on that. We touched on again that Jesus said, I am the one you're looking for. And to this day, he's still the one that we continue to search for. Now, we may not be aware of it. I'm looking for love in all the wrong places. Us older folks remember that country song or hit song or whatever it was. Looking for love in all the wrong places. And we do that. And Jesus Christ says, you know what? You're looking for love in all the wrong places. Now, that doesn't mean come to church and find a good mate. You may. But he's saying, seek me first. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these things will be added to you. And his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. So Jesus said, search me first and I'll help you. But we're looking for Jesus Christ in the wrong places. So last week we talked about the triumphant entry into Jerusalem. They were waving the palms. They're throwing their coats down for Jesus to ride in on his donkey and trample over. Man, how great a guy must be for you to take off your coat and throw it in the roadway, in the dirt, for someone to walk over and trample over. But they knew who he was. And he knew what was to come. And in that time, in that week's time from last Sunday, he washed the feet of his disciples. He gathered them together, instituting the Lord's Supper, knowing what was coming. He went into the temple and cleaned the temple out for them, the money changers, trying to make money. And then he went to the garden and he prayed and he prayed and he asked his disciples to stay awake and they couldn't do it. And he asked him yet again to do it, and they couldn't. So in John chapter 18, we read last week in verse 7, says, whom are you seeking? Actually, before that, I'm sorry, in chapter 4, it says, or verse 4 of chapter 18, it says, whom are you seeking? And they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus said to them, I am he. And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. Now when he said to them, I am he, they drew back and fell to the ground. Then he asked them again, said, whom are you seeking? And they said again, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus answered simply, I have told you that I am he. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way. You see, Jesus didn't want to take everyone down with him. He said, let them go. You're looking for me. That was a start or the continuation of him always saying, I'm here to take the punishment. I'm here to take whatever it is you're dishing out. Let these innocent people go. Except for the one. Except for the one. And then he said, not only was he going to be betrayed and given up into the hands of the soldiers, but one of his own, aside from that one that betrayed him, was also going to deny him. Not once, not twice, but three times. And Peter denies Jesus Christ. And they go up before Pontius Pilate. And he says, what do you want me to do with your king? And again, they shouted, crucify him. A little different than a week before. Hosanna in the highest. Crucify him. They forgot all about that. And I think sometimes during the week we may tend to do that. We come to church on Sundays. Hosanna in the highest. Woo-hoo. Sunday afternoon, we're like, get out of my way. Hosanna's coming through. And I think we forget those things. And then Monday comes. We always say, oh, how's work going? Oh, it's a Monday. I don't know what that means. I say it. That just means a ton of phone calls, a ton of people to return calls to, a ton of emails to return. Is that a good thing or bad thing? It's job security to me. But if we don't wake up with Jesus Christ in our life, in a connection to Jesus Christ every day. It's so easy to forget about Him from Sunday, from waving that thing around. Now, Jesus knows we're all made like that. He knows that. He knew we were going to do that. Yet, while we were still sinners, He bore our sins on the cross. So Pilate said, I find no fault in Him at all. Not a little bit. I find no fault in Him at all. But they had their custom where they could set a prisoner free. And they set Barabbas free. So then they beat Jesus. Again, a far cry from singing His praises. Now they're beating Him and flogging Him. They make a big giant cross and say, you got to carry this thing now. And He goes up and is hung on the cross. And when He was hung on the cross, He said several different things, depending on which gospel you read. But we know He was crucified between two thieves. Both guilty men. One thief mocked Him. Oh, so you are the Son of God. But you can't even save yourself. If you're the Son of God, get yourself down off the cross. Save yourself. The other thief seems to be the smarter of the two. Said, no. No, you see, we're getting what we deserve. But this man does not deserve that. And he asked Jesus to remember him. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When they hung Him on the cross. Then to the one thief He said, assuredly, I say to you. Assuredly, I say to you. Today you will be with me in paradise. And then as He's hanging there and the sins of the world are coming on Him on the cross, He screams out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And He said, I thirst. And they put liquid on a sponge and put it to His lips. And they pierced His side. And He said, Father, into Your hands I commit my spirit. It is finished. Now I find that fascinating for Him to say, it is finished. But His story is still alive today. Amen? Because this is 2,000 years later. I can almost guarantee you, no one's going to be telling stories about my Father from 2,000 years ago. Or 2,000 years from now. But Jesus Christ is different. He came as man. He came as man. But His story is so much different. For when they took Him down off the cross and they buried Him in the tomb. Of course, they feared that His disciples would come take Him away. Because He said, in 3 days I will rise again. And the temple will be rebuilt. So they sealed the tomb. And when they got to the tomb, John chapter 20, verse 1 says, now the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb and we do not know where they have laid Him. And so you can imagine them all trying to find out what have they done with Jesus. But you see, the guards did not know what happened to Him. And in verse 11 of chapter 20 in John, Mary Magdalene sees the risen Lord and says, but Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now, when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not know it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Again, whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be a gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned around to him and said, "Rabboni," which is to say, "teacher." And Jesus said, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." You see, Jesus reminded her, "I'm going to be with my God." But he gave her the reminder, "This is also your God. This is our God." It's not just a God that Jesus Christ has access to. It's a God that we all have access to. But as we've heard through song today, the grave could not hold him. He told the disciples this, yet they didn't understand until afterwards. It says in John 20:19, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst of them. And Jesus said to them, 'Peace be with you.'" And he says again in verse 21, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Commissioning his disciples. Then we know throughout the rest of the Gospel of John that Jesus met them by the sea, had breakfast with them when they didn't recognize it was him at first. Then their eyes were opened. And Jesus restored Peter. And Jesus is still restoring people today. As the rain came down this morning at the sunrise service, sun was kind of hidden behind the clouds and behind the building. And when we went into a little walkthrough area, well, you could see the sun through that area. I thought God may have just wanted us to have a better picture of the light that has come. And I mentioned this morning that we have to be careful as believers in Christ, as a church body, as individuals. We have to be so careful not to judge one another. And it happens so easily. Well, their hair's unkept. Well, they have big hair. They have no hair. They have whatever. And we want to judge these people. We want to judge them based on what they do or do not wear. We want to judge them based on what they look like, what they talk like, what they sound like, what their history is. And we have to be so careful. I said this morning, when we light a match, it has a flame about yay big. But with just that little flame, we can start such big fires. Campfires, grills, whatever it is. We start much larger fires. You see, the important thing is not what that lamp looks like. Is that a fine crystal lamp? But does it have a wick and does it have oil in it? Does it have a wick that can be used and is there oil in it that can be used? Doesn't matter how big or small the flame is. 13 years ago today, I came to Prayer Faith World Outreach for the first time. Easter Sunday. 13 years ago, Easter Sunday. Not sure what to expect. Loving the music. I love the drummer. He had 200 drums stretched out. So I love seeing Rex's drum set up here. The preacher, he didn't talk fancier than me, so I could comprehend what he was saying. But it just took a small flame to ignite me and get me reconnected. You see, I was just disconnected for so long. Easter Sunday is not about the day. This shouldn't just be a day changer. This day should be a life changer for every Christian, every believer in Christ. You see, all the other religions, they may have great philosophies. They may have some good characteristics. But they don't have a risen Savior. They don't have a Savior that they put in the ground and rose again 3 days later. Again, death couldn't hold our Savior down. It couldn't hold our Savior down. Now, as we look around to the different vessels in here, keep this in mind also. As vessels carrying water, same thing from this morning that I mentioned, that it doesn't have to be a crystal pitcher that you're pouring out of. It doesn't have to be silver. It doesn't have to be of gold and polished up. It could be an old clay jar. And I mentioned this morning, if your hands are dirty, but you have access to water, and your brother or sister are thirsting, if they're thirsty enough, and you cup that water in your hands and offer it to them, they'll take that water. And I've been there before where I thought, I'm too dirty to help anybody. I'm too dirty. Well, Adam, I don't get it. You wear a suit, you've got a tie on. How could you be dirty? I was dirty. And it doesn't matter how dirty or how thick the crust was. I was just dirty. We're all dirty. And we're simply made clean by the blood of Jesus Christ and the finished work on the cross. So let's be careful when somebody offers water and their hands are dirty that we don't knock it out of their hand. Say, you know what? I'm going to wait on the next person that's clean enough to offer me some good clean water. Jesus Christ is the living water. The story is not finished. As we close today, I want you to reflect on the story of Jesus Christ in your own life. How has that changed or altered your life? Did it get you through something? Then once you were through it, did you just walk away and say, thank you, Jesus. Now I'm going on to my mess called life. I just need help with that one thing. I don't know if any of you have ever been to a counselor, but if you go to a counselor and they gave you some good advice in that first time, you think, ah, that was great. Never to go back again. Probably missed out on the rest of the stuff that's follow-up that's important. I went to a dentist a little over a year ago when I broke a tooth. So I was getting an implant put in there. Guess what? Went to the first visit. He starts at second visit. They do some things. Now all I need is the implant. For the sake of the fact that we're going to be eating very soon here, I'm not going to show you my hole in my mouth still, where I didn't go back and get the implant. It doesn't help. I know that disturbs some of you. I'm sorry. But I'm going back now to get it taken care of. Today isn't about the day. We're going to have a baptism here in just a minute. As a matter of fact, if you're going to be baptized, if you'll come up and get prepared for that. And Jesus Christ says, I'm sorry, the last thing we're going to read in Mark. And he gives us instruction. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, it says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." Hang on just a minute, Nestor. "And they will recover." Jesus is giving us instruction in the Great Commission. Continue to tell my story. Continue to tell others about me. You see, He is risen today. He is risen indeed. And we should sing hallelujah every day of our life. As I say very often, a lot of people went to bed last night that didn't wake up this morning. So those of you that are here, that means you woke up this morning. You should be thankful to the Lord Jesus Christ for that breath that He gave you this morning. Amen indeed. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank You so much for the work Your Son has done on the cross. Father, the grave could not hold You down. The grave could not hold You back. On this Resurrection Sunday, Lord, help us to make it about a life changed and not just a day changed for us. Lord, help us to continue to tell the story. Would you take a minute today just to pray to Jesus Christ, your own prayer of the needs in your life? Just take a minute.